You want to go to Psalm 119, find that chapter in your Bible, Psalm 119. A couple of weeks ago, we started into this chapter, and we'll be here for a few Wednesday nights at the beginning of this year. This series is going to be called God's Word About His Word. God's Word About His Word. So find chapter 119, Book of Psalms. Are you comfortable out there tonight? Is it too warm, too cool? Is it okay tonight? Everybody feeling all right? All right, very good. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your truth tonight. Help me, I pray, and everyone help us to listen. May your spirit have access to our hearts, our minds, and our behavior as a result. In Jesus' name. And amen. If there's any chapter in the Bible that sheds light on what God had to say about his word, it is this chapter. I wish I could, I'd gone back and recouped or recovered how many times the word of God is mentioned in the 176 verses of this chapter. Maybe some of you wrote that down, but it's just verse after verse after verse after verse that makes mention of God's word. So if there's any chapter in the Bible that has a lot to say about his word, it's this chapter. It contains much about God's attributes. The first one we looked at a couple of weeks ago was his righteousness, and that's critically important for what we're going to look at tonight. God's righteousness is very important when it comes to God's word, because not only is God righteous, but his word is also true or truth. Now, obviously, that goes hand in hand with his righteousness. If God were not righteous, his word could not be trusted to be true. Okay? Now, if man makes us a promise, what's the potential there? That man could be what? Lying, right? If God makes us a promise, what's the potential there? Potential? No, what's the truth? It's true. All right, because God cannot lie. So I want you to look at verse 142. I'm going to read three verses, and I'm going to jump into some thoughts about this tonight from the Bible, not just random thoughts. Look at 142, Psalm 119, 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and that law is the truth. There's the two together, God's righteousness and God's truth. Okay, very important, very important. All right, because God is righteous, his word is true. All right. Look at verse number 151, right close there. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. And isn't it good to know what the teenagers sang about is true? You're there in the midnight. You're there in the difficult times, all right? All thy commandments are truth. Look at verse 160. You're real close there. Verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So in these verses, 142, 151, 160, we read God's law, God's commandments, and God's word are true or truth. Both words, true and truth, come from the same root word. The definition includes the words firm, faithful, permanent, verified, trusty, reliable, right, God's law, God's commandments, and his word is true or truth. And you say, okay, this is, we learned this, you know, in first grade. Yeah, but folks, you know what? Real life, in real time, in real life, you and I are faced with circumstances that once in a while, you better fall back on that. You have to fall back on that, okay? So let me ask you some questions tonight, Retort, don't have to answer. How do you feel about truth versus lies? How do you feel about, let's say, your government when you don't know if they are telling you the truth or not? If the lips of some of these people are moving, they're lying. How important is it that you know the truth? How do you feel when you find out that someone has lied to you? How do you feel when the truth has been kept from you? Now, every one of us feels the same way, right? No doubt about it. When you go to buy a vehicle, you're not going to say you're not going to buy a new one. You're going to buy a used vehicle, okay? How important is it that you know the truth about that vehicle? Most everybody that buys a used vehicle in today's world gets what with it? Carfax or some type report on the history of that car? Why? Because you don't believe that salesman. He's a used car salesman, okay? Some of you don't remember Gene Vercheo. Gene Vercheo went to church here for years. He got saved. He was our only Korean conflict or Korean War vet. He actually served on the USS Missouri. That's the same battleship that the Japanese emperor surrendered to Douglas MacArthur at the end of World War II. He served on that battleship, not in World War II, in the Korean War. Gene Vercheo was a car salesman. And he told us one time, I think me and I don't know if it was Ray or somebody else, we were visiting Gene. And he said, you know, when you go in to buy a used car, just need to know that that car salesman is starting out $3,000 high. Now, that's what he said. Okay. So how many of you believe you want to know the truth about that vehicle? When you go to buy a house, when you're in the market for a house, how important is it to you that you know the truth about the house? I mean, what's become popular today? Home inspections. Because the buyer wants to know, what's the condition of this house? We want to know the truth. It seems that we want the truth about things that we feel are important. Houses, vehicles, doctors. I've seen young couples here in the church, young ladies, and get expecting for the first time, and they've never been to an OB doctor, and they start asking ladies around the church, what about this guy? What about this place? What about this group of doctors? Everybody wants to know the truth about what they believe to be important. So how important is truth about life? How important is truth about eternity? Well, I can't think of any two things more important than life and eternity. And God's word is truth about both. So if I'm serious about being interested in knowing the truth about life and eternity, then that automatically means I'm interested in God's word, because God's word is truth. It's true. And you say, okay, yeah, but nail it down. Nail it down. Now, what should characterize our relationship with God's truth? Let me give you four things tonight. Number one, we need to know the truth. Know the truth. 1 John chapter 2, verse 21. You have to turn there. I've got the scripture here. John wrote to the people. He said, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. And that no lie is of the truth. So John said he was writing to a group of people who knew the truth. Now, every child of God should have what I call a working knowledge of the Scripture. Paul told Timothy was the pastor at the church in Ephesus, and you remember he wrote to him and said, what? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So Paul told this young preacher, you need to be a workman with the Bible. Well, the Bible is the preacher's tool. And we as preachers should be examples in this area. But folks, that's not good just for preachers. That's good for every child of God. You need to be a workman with your book. It's good for every saved person. The soldier has his gun. The farmer has his plow. The draftman has his mechanical pencil. The mathematician has his calculator. The geometry teacher has his compass. The builder has his plumb line. And the child of God has his book. A book that's been magnified above all of God's name. So get to know it. Get to know it. And be as familiar with your Bible as you possibly can be. You know, when you have a project that you want to accomplish, whether indoors or outdoors at the house, doesn't matter, it's always helpful to not only have the proper tools, but to know how to use them. I've talked about that before. When I went to work at Marion Avenue for Brother Brown, fresh out of Bible college, I worked on an assistant pastor's salary back then. That was, I would in no way, shape, or form throw Pastor Brown under the bus. He met our needs while we were there. Very gracious man. But it was thin. And things at the house had to be repaired. And I couldn't call a guy to come out and spend so much per hour fixing something. We didn't have YouTube University back in those days, like you and I do now. And I learned real quick in the process of trying to fix something that's broken or that needs attention that proper tools are vitally important. You can't do anything better for a man than buy him a tool for birthday, Christmas. And folks, let ladies forget the socks and get him a set of wrenches or something. All right. All right. That's what he needs. But I also found out that not only is it important to have the proper tools, it's also important to know how to use them. Because if you don't know how to use some tools, you'll do more damage than good. Okay? There are tools that require great skill to use properly, and there are tools that almost anyone can pick up and use to some benefit. Sawzall. Somebody say sawzall right there. Okay, well, you can just about everybody can use a reciprocating saw and do something, whether it's good or bad. You can accomplish something with it. All right. Now, listen, one of the most, well, and then before I get on that, one of the most helpful advances now in technology, fellas, is the creation of power tools, and especially those that are powered with batteries. Don't you like those? Take them anywhere, and as long as the batteries are charged, remember to do that. You can accomplish about anything, any kind of task with them. When I travel, we traveled like we went down to Pete and Leah's the week after Christmas. I have a little tool bag. Don't take tons of tools with me, but I carry an impact driver, battery-powered impact driver, impact sockets, and two or three long-life batteries. And I figure, you know, if I have a flat tire, maybe that enough torque on that impact driver, it'll at least loosen those lug nuts. Maybe I can get that tire changed in a quick amount of time. Those are very helpful tools. Now, Jesus was our example here on earth. And when he withstood Satan in the wilderness, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, what did he do in the face of temptation? He quoted what? Scripture. It is written. It is written. It is written. And that's Jesus. Jesus could have flicked the devil off with the word balloon. Fly away like a balloon. Tick, he'd have been gone. Why did Jesus use it is written, it is written, it is written? Because you and I can't defeat the temptations of the devil with the word balloon. You and I need something a little more powerful than that. We need the word of God. We need truth. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 29. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto them, Pharisees, okay, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. You need the power of God? Say, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. You need the power of God to be a husband. A good one. You need the power of God to be a good wife. You need the power of God to be a good young person. Did you read? Did you listen there where Jesus tied the power of God to knowing the scriptures? Knowing the truth? The reason you err? And you have no power of God, he told him, because you're ignorant of the scriptures. What a difference it would make for you and for me to have the power of God at our disposal day after day, no matter what we're doing. And we can have it. One of the ways we can have it is if we know the scriptures, know truth, know truth. The Bible is a tool that can be used by those who are brand new to Christ, or those who are mature children of God. In fact, you know, the Bible is a tool that no one ever masters completely. Ever. There might be a man in this church who has completely mastered a particular tool that's out there to accomplish a task. You're an expert. You're a skilled craftsman with a particular tool. But none of us can ever master the depths of God's truth. It's unreal. I told my wife, shared something with my wife yesterday. I believe it was yesterday, just sitting down to read the scripture for devotions. And I think I told the fellows about it. I forget who all. But how many times do you read a particular verse? And yeah, that's a nice verse. And okay, I get it. And yeah, that's good. But you know what? You come across that same verse in real time. When there's something happening in your life and something, you know, circumstances or things you're thinking about, and you read that one verse that you've read how many times and you've looked at it and thought, yeah, that's a nice verse and I understand it. But, you know, when you read it that time, it's like the Spirit of God just. That happened yesterday morning when I was just having devotions. Because God's word is truth. It's true. So know the truth. Get to know it. And as much as we harp on it here, I know, I'm not naive. I'm probably still preaching to people. You're playing around with your Bible. Playing around with it, folks. You're never going to get any traction spiritually in your life without knowing the truth. You got to know it. All right? God's word is truth. Know the truth. Number two, hear the truth. This is simple tonight, and it's simple on purpose. Hear the truth. Matthew 13, 9. Jesus said this, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, one of the best ways to know the truth is to not only read your Bible, but listen carefully when it is being taught or preached. How many times did Jesus say to his followers, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." How many times did he say that? In the book of Revelation, the seven letters to the seven churches, we just finished that. He ended each one of those letters by saying, these are letters that were going to be read to the church at Ephesus, read to the church at Smyrna, read to the church at Pergamos, read to the church at Thyatira, read to the church at Sardis, read to the church at Philadelphia, read to the church at Laodicea. They're going to be read to the congregation. Remember what he said at the end of Colossians to the Colossian people? When you get done with this letter, pass it on to the Laodicea and let it be read over there, and you take the one that I wrote them and you read it in your church. So he told all seven of those churches, he ended all seven of those letters by saying, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And it's interesting to me when he wrote a specific church that he didn't use the singular church. He wrote churches. So that means what he wrote to Ephesus was supposed to be heard in Smyrna and Thyatira and so on and so on and so on. And the one he wrote to Thyatira was supposed to be heard at Philadelphia and Laodicea. And they passed them around from church to church. We don't have to do that today because we got the completed canon in our hands. But the same thing is true today. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, the ecclesia, the assembly, the God-called assembly of born-again, baptized people who sit in the pew Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and our minds are distracted. We're thinking about everything else in the world and everything that the teacher or the preacher is saying from the pulpit. It never registers because we're not listening. We're not hearing. Hear the truth. And I'm not mad. I'm not going off on it. I'm trying to, this, I am not your salvation. This is. I will not always be here. But this book will be. For every one of you young people, when mom and dad are gone, the pastor and Sunday school teacher that you sat at his feet or her feet for a couple of years, this book will remain. It needs to become precious to you. So hear the truth. It's wise to develop. And by the way, I was going to say this. I almost forgot. The reason it's so important to hear is not because of who is speaking. Now, that does matter to a degree. But it's because of what is being spoken. If it's from this, if it's from the truth that's stamped on these pages, printed on these pages, it's important to listen to. To hear carefully. It's wise to develop good habits when listening to messages, listening to lessons from God's Word. Maybe mark your Bible. I don't know. But develop a good habit. One of the gates to the mind is the what? The ear. And the importance of hearing truth cannot be overstated. Again, that's another reason why a child of God must put a priority on services where the truth is preached or taught. And I'm preaching to the choir tonight because you're here. And I was pretty adamant about this a couple Sunday mornings ago. I don't apologize for that at all. It was preached in the right spirit. It was truth. And some people don't get it. I don't know what to do. But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you get it. And don't grow weary of it. You put a priority when the scriptures are being taught or preached. People, it is impossible for us to hear truth too often. It's impossible. In a world of deceit, in a world where strong delusion is going to overtake society, 2 Thessalonians 2, You say, well, that's tribulation. Don't think that the seeds of that aren't already around the world right now. And I'm gonna live for God and try to raise a family and have a marriage and try to be a fruitful, productive Christian on my own in a world of delusion? I don't think so, folks. I need truth. You need truth. We need to hear it. Does it hurt us? You know, oh, I feel so bad because I missed that podcast. I feel so bad because I missed that news. I feel so bad. You know, hey, you know what? If it was temporal, it's not going to kill you. But when it's eternal, your livelihood, your well-being, spiritually, physically, everything may be at stake right here. That's how serious it is. Romans 10:17, you know the verse. So then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the, and God's word is, so how is your faith built? Philosophy? Opinion? Our faith is not built through philosophy or opinion. Our faith is built through truth, through hearing truth and listening carefully. Know truth, hear the truth. Number three, think on truth. Think on truth. Philippians 4:8, we were there this past Sunday morning. Finally, brethren, Paul wraps it all up on how to have the peace of God and the God of peace. How to double up on peace. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. And by the way, that's the first in the whole list. Whatsoever things are true. You got to start there. If it's not true, forget it. Whatsoever things are true, think on these things. So remember that one of the great battlefields in this life of following Christ is our mind. And if Satan can distract our minds from the truth, it's going to have little or no effect on us. I think of Mark chapter 4 where Jesus told the parable of the sower. It's in the Gospel of Matthew. It's, I think, in the Gospel of Luke, 3 out of the 4 Gospels. And he said in Mark chapter 4, verse 15, in explaining the parable to the disciples, he said, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. So that means what is sown? Truth. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. You say, well, Pastor, that's talking about unsaved people. Yes, I understand. Talking about unsaved people. But do you think the same thing could happen to a saved person? You think the word is sown to us, thrown out to us? The word of God, truth, is thrown out to us. And Satan doesn't want to come immediately and snatch that seed away from our minds and our thinkings before it can have any impact on us? Oh, yeah. And people, you know. Am I picking on any one person? But I'm telling you. We say amen, and 15 seconds after amen, after a 40-minute or 35-minute message, Sunday morning, Sunday night, 15 seconds after the last amen, people are looking at their phones. Yeah, I know this is not popular, but 15 seconds. We can't walk from the front to the back without having to do our phone. I'm blown away sometimes. I remember one time, Wendell Runyon preached one of our missions conferences, and he preached on, I think it was on a Monday, or out of a Monday, it didn't matter what night it was, and I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost came in this place, and I mean, hearts were touched and moved. And I'm standing there after the service in the aisle, and I'm basking in it. And somebody comes up with the most insane comment. Friend, were you not in the same service I was just in? You say, you're being hard on us. If I'm being hard on you, it's because I love you. I want your life to count for Christ. And in these days, God's people who try to navigate through this thing without truth are not going to survive. Not going to. Think on it. Think on it. Man, if God moves in a service and moves your heart, yeah, I know you got to get, kids got to get home. I get all that. But, you know, somewhere, some way, you got to make a little note. You know, tomorrow morning when I wake up, have my devotions, I'm going back to that passage that the speaker spoke from, and I'm going to read that text. And I got the notes in here, and I'm going to think again. I know this is foreign to us, isn't it? It's a shame. It's a shame. Think on truth. Look at your Psalm 149. Look at Psalm 119. Look at verse 148. Look at verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. The psalmist, he was awake at night. You know what he did? He thought on the scripture. Now that convicts my heart. Because, you know, what did I tell you on Sunday? I'm thinking about the baseball game. Trying to go back to sleep, right? This writer, he says, my eyes are open in the middle of the night. I'm not sleeping. What's he thinking on? He's thinking on God's word. You reckon it's doing him any good? And by the way, this is where memorizing the scripture will pay off. Allowing truth, you memorize scripture and you allow that truth to run across the thought patterns of your mind. And eventually, folks, eventually what runs across the thought patterns of our mind, it affects our emotions and impacts our choices, our decisions. Because what we allow ourselves to think on will eventually have an impact on both our emotions and our actions. No doubt about it. Last fall, my brother-in-law, Brother Cranston, he was not out of town speaking. He was at home at the church there, Pastor Hall's in Burlington. And he was just at the end of the service. And all of a sudden, he has a security system in his house. And all of a sudden, his phone lit up. And here was a guy, the alarm had gone off, and he has cameras. And so he opened the app, and he hit the camera button. And he's looking at a man rummaging through his house. Watching him. Hey, dummy, not there. There's nothing there. Don't worry about that, you know, but he couldn't hear it. So the police are called. So, you know, he tells his son, Jacob, it was one of the breaks, must have been Thanksgiving break or something. But so he tells Jacob, he said, man, we got a burglar in the house and the police are on the way. So Jake and his buddy take off, you know, and they get there and the guy's running down the road and Jake and him, his friend, take off after the guy. I said, you have a gun? No. What's wrong with you, man? But anyway, they didn't get a whole lot. I would be careful chasing after a robber if I wasn't armed. I don't know. And it ended up the guy used to go to the church when Brother Cranston was the pastor. They got there and the guy said, "You know me?" And I said, "Yeah, I know you." So he's telling me this story. He keeps saying, "You got an alarm system? You got a security system?" I said, "No." He said, "Man, you live out there? You have a security system?" At the same time, the neighbor to my south is saying, "Hey," he said, "Terry," he said, "hey, they out here in this area in Kankakee County, they're having a lot of break-ins between here and Manteno." And then J.B. Pritzker's going to let every convict, every prisoner we got out of jail on January 1st. So I was out at Pete Wright's church in Colorado. I'm flying home. I just got a couple, 3 hours in the Dallas airport, I believe it was, or the Denver airport. And I called Cran. Hey, what was that security system? Okay, yeah, look it up. Cyber Monday Week. And I called him back. I said, "This is what I got." He said, "How much you pay for it?" And I told him. He said, "What?" I said, "Man, I got it." He said, "You got to steal." So now, but why did I? You know why I bought that security system? I was thinking about it. Break-ins in our part of the county. The guy down the road from us has had his shed attempted break-in 3 times. And Brother Barah said he heard the same thing. And Babskin said, you need an alarm. You need a security system. You need a security system. So, you know, I'm thinking about it, and boom. So I've been thinking about an AR these last few days. You wouldn't do that after our governor signed that law. Makes me want to go out and buy 10 of them. Hope you didn't hear that, Mr. Pritzker. Anyway. Listen. I'm having a little fun, but I got to quit. When crises or tragedies come, and they will, it is extremely important that we think on truth. We need to realize how vulnerable and fragile we are when our emotions are allowed to dictate our thinking. Because you know what happens, folks? Unwise, potentially harmful choices are possible if our emotions are not guarded by truth. And the only way to keep that from happening is to take a deep breath and think on truth. Because it's not how I feel. It's what does God say. Now you say amen to that until you're there. Now this is a bit more difficult. But it's necessary. Know, hear, think truth. Number four, we're done. Obey truth. Galatians 5:7, Paul wrote to the church, and he said, the churches of Galatia, several of them, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not, what? Obey the truth. In this verse, Paul asked who, not what, hindered them from obeying truth. How many times do we allow people to hinder or stop us from obeying truth? We get disappointed or hurt by people we respect or love. We allow a person's shortcomings to stop us from obeying truth. We allow a friend's influence, young men, young ladies, to stop us from obeying truth. You know why? Because we want their affirmation. We want their approval. So it's not a what that hinders you. It's a who. You let the affirmation or approval of somebody that's not living for God keep you from obeying truth. Do you understand what you've just traded away? I could go on and on. Psalm 119 is God's word about His word. And His word tells us, God's word tells us that His word is true. Emphatically. And we know it's true because God is what? Righteous. Righteous. So know the truth, hear the truth, think on truth, and then obey it. Truth will never lead you wrong. Never. The truth will never lead you. It may hurt sometimes, but it will never lead us wrong. Aren't you glad you got a book tonight that's true, huh? That is truth. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll take the message tonight, the lesson from your book. And God, I do not draw attention to myself tonight, my opinions, my whatever thoughts. This is what you told us in your book. Know truth, hear truth, think on truth, obey truth. May we build our lives on the truth of your word. Please. May it become real to us, important to us, vital to us. And thank you again for this blessed old book that we hold in our hands. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a brief piano. If the altar be open for a moment if you want it.